it's a wonderful day to worship the Lord together. You know, your Thanksgiving weekend is not complete until you've come to worship the one we're thankful to. And so today we're going to just have joy and be grateful because it says to give thanks in all circumstances, not because of the circumstances, but because of the one we can be thankful to. We've been teaching the kids a new song. It's called "There's Joy in the House of the Lord." And I love the chorus. It says, "We were the beggars, but now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, but now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. So let the house of the Lord sing praise." That's what we're going to do. Let's stand together and sing praise. Worship the God who was, we worship the God who is, we worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors, He parted the raging sea. Our God, He holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord, there's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. Shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, oh, oh. We shout out your praise. Oh, oh, oh. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause He hung upon that cross, then He rose up from that grave. Our God's still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, 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 oh. We shout out your praise. Oh, grateful to the Lord today. Amen. Amen. Aren't you thankful for his amazing grace? Sing this song with me.
Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within.
Let's do that last slide again, Kathy. And when we get to that greater than all our sin, say, all my sin.
Grace.
Father, we thank you. Lord God, we thank you so much for the grace that pardons our sin, the grace that cleanses us, the grace that makes us whole, the grace that pours out from your hand on everyone who knows you, everyone who calls on your name. Your grace flows freely. Thank you, Father God, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. We are so incredibly thankful for you, because all good things come from your hand. We give you praise in the name of our precious Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. We never want to, I never want to come to Thanksgiving without an opportunity to give thanks. And so the praise team's going to share some of the things they're thankful for today. And I want you to be thinking about the things you're thankful for as well.
Brother Stan, this morning I'm reflecting back on my past year. It's been a hard year. I shared with my friends a couple of nights ago. And so I am thankful for Christian friends who can walk alongside us in our journey.
So much to be thankful for, but I am so thankful that we can come and worship Him freely. There's not guards at the doors or anything like that. And I'm so thankful for this family that I have here. And I'm so thankful for my personal family.
I'm also thankful for family and for healing for family this year.
And I'm thankful for God seeing us through all the trials and tribulations that we've gone through this past year.
I'm so grateful and so thankful this morning. I just wanted to say family, but they took that. But I am thankful for my family, and I'm thankful for God's grace and His mercy, because they're fresh and they're new, and we can actually feel it deep down in our soul.
You know, we've been teaching the kids some Bible verses about Thanksgiving at Faith Builders, and one of the things that dawned on me is it's a command. It's not a suggestion. We give thanks when things seem to be going good. It says in all things, give thanks. And it's because we have a good God that we can give thanks all the time. It's not about what we're thankful for. It's about who we're thankful to. Y'all sing with us.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son.
Before you sit down, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm so thankful today for this. And it's got to be something God's done in your life. If it's a good thing, if it's a blessing, God did it. Because every good thing, every blessing comes from the Father of lights. So before you sit down, share something that you're thankful for. Okay, that's enough. I know, y'all may be here all day. Melody's gonna, okay. Y'all be seated for just a moment. I hope that we're always so full of thanksgiving that it's hard to do it in just a couple of seconds, that you could go on forever. And be sure to share those things with one another and with the people around you, not just at Thanksgiving time. Share your thanksgiving all the time. We're thankful if you're chosen to worship with us, if this is your first time, or if you've never filled out one of these guest forms, we'd love for you to fill that out. You can give it to somebody in the foyer after the service, and they've got some information about our church we'd love for you to have. It is name tag November, so hopefully you've got your name tags on. And this is the last week of name tag November, so make sure you're memorizing people's names today, because it won't be on there next Sunday. But we do hope that you're planning on worshiping with us all throughout the month of December for our Christmas celebrations of worship. And a couple things, Christmas Bible School's coming up Saturday after next. Is that right, or is it this? No, it's this Saturday. And so if you haven't signed up to help, or if you know kids that need to sign up, please do that. Sign the kids up. We'll be here 9 to noon teaching them the true story of Christmas, what Christmas is really about. And then we also, ladies, next Sunday, ornament exchange right after the service. Just plan on staying and doing lunch and bring a small ornament with you wrapped up to share together. It is a potluck. Make sure you bring food with you when you come, too, or else you're out of luck. you see in your bulletins, Young at Heart luncheon coming up in a couple of weeks. We've got outdoor Christmas movie night. We're going to be showing The Star. We're inviting the community to that. Invite people to come with you, bring some soup, and share in that time together. We'll have a concert of praise on the 17th. We'll have our candlelight service on the 24th. Also, back at the back, we still have some angels on the angel tree. We cooperate and partner with the school district to try and take care of the needy families in our community. So if you can do that and adopt one of those angels and get those gifts this week so that they can have those by the beginning of the following week, please do that. Today, we're also doing a neighborhood blitz. And what we're going to do is, this new neighborhood, Princeton Heights, looks like there's no houses there except for the model home. There's actually over 150 occupied homes right across the street now. And so today, after the service, for those that are able, I told you last week I'd wear my tennis shoes. I've got them on. We're going to try and hit that neighborhood and pass out these flyers that I just dropped and are scared to pick up because I'll knock everything over with my guitar. Anyway, we've got some flyers back there that we're going to have for that neighborhood blitz. We're going to try and hit those 150 homes and the town, the little duplexes there at Park Place off of College Street. We're going to try and hit those duplexes. There's a lot of kids there. We want them to know about our Christmas Bible school, and we want families to be able to worship with us. I'm looking forward to our Christmas sermon series. It's going to be called More Than a Baby, and we're going to be diving into Colossians 1 again to talk about that Jesus isn't a baby. He's the Christ, the eternal Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And we're going to be talking about some apologetics. Brandon Whitaker is going to do one of those messages, just talking about who Christ is, so that as we worship this Christmas, it's not about a baby in a manger. It's about the eternal Savior and Lord of the universe. Anyway, just want you to know that we have some extras. They're set in packs of 15 back there by the angel tree, that if you want to take a group of those to your home and pass them out to your 15 closest neighbors, you're welcome to do that as well. But we'll meet, we're going to meet right up here front as soon as the service is over. If you're able to go with us to pass out those flyers across the street, or down at Park Place, please come meet right up here, and we'll get assigned our marching orders. All right, that's some of the opportunities. Make sure that you don't neglect to worship Christ this Christmas, because Christmas begins and continues and ends with Christ. Let's stand together one more time. We've been talking about how good our Lord is. And before Charles is going to come and share our last message from our Finishing Well series, and just be praying for him as he shares with us. I hope you've enjoyed the series. I hope it's been beneficial to you. And I hope we keep our eyes fixed on the goal, marching straight to Jesus all the way. He is so good to us.
Amazing love that welcomes me, the kindness of mercy that bought with blood wholeheartedly my soul undeserving. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. Behold the cross, age to age, and hour by hour, the dead are raised, the sinners saved, the work of your power. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. God, you're so suffering, Lord, I will remember what Calvary has bought for me, both now and forever. God, you're so good. So good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me.
thank you, God, for being so good to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
To be in the house of the Lord this morning, as I'm back here at the back and I'm looking around, and I came over here and just seeing you worship. I loved watching, and I see the band. Usually I have my back turned to the band, and I don't get to see them very often, but just to be able to observe God's people worshiping together is a wonderful thing for me this morning as I spent my time in worship as well. God is so good. And y'all notice we finally got our drummer out of the cage. You've seen that a few weeks ago. We got the drummer out. And our drummer is my son-in-law, by the way. And you know what? They're very, very quiet people, and I didn't ask him if I could do this. I'm going to turn my back and walk this way. But, you know, just a few weeks ago, he was in a hospital for 2 or 3 days. Stroke-like symptoms at, how old are you, Brandon? 36 years old, not knowing what's going on, and going tomorrow to do a follow-up visit with the neurologist. And when we hear testimonies of, I just thank God for what he's done in my life through the trial this year. How many times did you hear up here, and I look around the congregation, and I know personally some of you have gone through trials this year. And it's tough, isn't it? It's tough. I'm so glad that you're here, and I'm so glad, Brandon, just you continue to give your gifts and talents to the Lord, and we're blessed by that. Just pastor talking about going out and passing out flyers. Some of you will do that today, that you're not up here on the platform for everyone to see every week. You're not teaching a Sunday school class. You're not a greeter that people sees when they first walk in the door. And it's the body of Christ at work doing what he's called us to do. And we started off October the 8th, finishing well. And here was the seven, eight weeks later. We're going to finish the series. It's a wonderful series. Wonderful series. I've really enjoyed it. And I hope you have as well. We've been encouraged to run the race and finish well. Been encouraged to run that race that Christ, the God, has marked out for us. We've been encouraged to overcome the obstacles in life. We've been encouraged to stand firm on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. We've been encouraged to reach out and be mission-minded outside these walls. We've been encouraged to reach inward within these walls and love on one another as Christ loves the church as well. We've been encouraged to live a blessed life and what that looks like. We've been encouraged last week to leave a legacy. And the examples that Greg had when he was growing up, and each of us that had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home, not everyone did, those of us that did had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home and growing up in church, those who poured into us, they continue to leave that legacy in our lives. And I can tell you names of people who were our sponsors in our youth ministry when I was growing up, and how I know they prayed for me. And they prayed and they prayed and prayed because they had to. 13-year-old redheaded middle kid Charlie was little Henri. And I praise God, and Pam's going, no way. I would never have thought that about you. Don't do that. But, you know, they were faithful. I know they were faithful praying for me. And look where I am today. Because of the legacy of people that have gone before me. And some, as God's already called them home. But I praise God for those people that he put in my life that instilled to be faithful and to love the Lord no matter the trials of this past year, no matter the trials of the last 3 or 4 years. Been encouraged to leave a legacy. And then when this life is over, Jesse, Angie, don't we all want to hear those special words? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let me just say as we start off, though, well done is for good and faithful servant. It's not for stakes. For any of you guys that are burning your steaks, stop it. I did that for years, and I drowned it with A1 sauce because that's the only thing that would make it taste well. I don't know who it was. Someone talked me into going to medium well. Medium well is a good steak. Anyone do medium rare? Anyone in here? Wow. You bloodthirsty people. Wow. Well done, good and faithful servant. What does that look like for you? What does that look like for you? Brandon, we still have a ring here if you don't mind. Think about that. Why would the Lord say that to you? Why would he say that to me? Don't think about anyone else. Think about yourself. What does that look like? Well done, good and faithful servant. Anyone know what a latchkey kid is? How many of y'all were latchkey kids, latchkey child? Anyone? Several? Anyone not know what a latchkey child is? Okay. Latchkey child, some would say that's a child who a parent or both parents work, and after school they have to go home, unlock, and go in the house and be there by themselves for a few hours until the parent comes home. That's what the typical answer is. For a middle kid, a latchkey child is the period of time that I have when mom and daddy's not there, and how much trouble can I get into before they come home. Latchkey child. You know, my parents had expectations for me. Once again, anyone, those of you who were a latchkey child, raise your hand. Okay, let me just look real quick. Were there expectations for you guys? Was for me. Vacuum the shag carpet. Anyone have shag carpet growing up? My goodness. Did y'all have a rake for your shag carpet? Anyone have a rake? We literally had a rake for our carpet. And you think about how nasty that carpet is. My goodness. So, Mom, I'm going to confess. We didn't vacuum very much. We just got the rake out and raked the carpet and fluffed it up a little bit. I know that disappoints you. We had to mow the grass. My daddy was so mean to us. He moved us to an acre and a third, and he would not buy a riding mower. Push mowed for 9 years, an acre and a third. That's a pretty good chunk of property to push mow, myself and my older brother. Lloyd got married in March. Jamie and I got married in November the same year. You know what Daddy did the next spring? He went out and bought a riding mower. I was so mad at him. But Daddy, his expectations for us, while we were home, we needed to mow the yard, at least mow this section, and then mow this section, you know, the next day and do something. We had a Honda Trail 70. Anyone remember those? Had a Honda Trail 70, little mini bike. I invented the first zero turn. Tied that mower to the back of the mini bike. Cost us twice as much gasoline, but my goodness, we could mow that backyard just by riding the little motorcycle and having a good time. Latchkey kids at home, waiting for the parents' return. Sometimes if you weren't a latchkey child, maybe your parents went out on a date or they went shopping and left you at home. Did any of you guys get a phone call from your children saying, what time y'all coming home? Anyone? I did. My youngest is sitting right over here. I'd get a phone call and Jamie and I out on a date and so her and her sisters were there by themselves, and what time are you coming home? You know what my answer was? We're on our way. I'm not telling them we're going to be home at 10:30, because I know what I did when I knew when my parents were coming home. I had that much time to get in trouble, so I would always say, I'm on my way. On my way. I'm not going to give her a time. Like, I invented this. You think you're going to pull that over on me? You were the good child. You were the good daughter. Not knowing when daddy's going to come back. Not knowing he's going to come back. Let me set up the passage before we read it. Jesus was teaching his disciples. He was sharing with his disciples. Watch out for false teachers. He also told them that no one knows the hour or the day when he'll return. Jesus begins teaching three different parables, one of which was what we're going to look at today in Matthew 25. He explained to them the importance of being busy about the Father's business while he's away. The Master's business. Matthew 25, if you'll look there with me. Some translations will say talent. Some's been updated basically and says bags of gold. A lot of money. The money that each servant was given represents several years' wages. So look at Matthew chapter 25 and beginning in verse 14 with me. Jesus says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and trusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents or 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags of gold, and to another one, 1 bag of gold, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 bags went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. And just for the sake of the band's done, I'm going to do this and hopefully it won't fall. I'm going to leave that up there just for a point of reference. Verse number 19, after a long time, the master of the servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 bags of gold brought another 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold, and see, I have here 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. And he said, Master, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent or the 1 bag of gold, Master, I knew that you are a hard man. He starts the blaming game, taking responsibility from himself, and now it's on the master. I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent or your money in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not scattered seed, or where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have at least a little bit of interest with it. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents or the 10 bags of gold. For everyone who will be given more, let me say that again, for everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Father, as we spend time in your word together, encourage us, Lord. Encourage us to be faithful and be busy about your business and your calling on each of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. you'll notice, the master entrusted. He had expectations for his servants, and he entrusted them some financial responsibilities to manage while he was gone. Pretty simple task. The first two servants put the money to work, and they saw an increase. Their efforts really paid off. The third servant did what? He dug a hole, and he buried that money. After a long time away, and we don't know how long. How long was the master gone? Was it a month? 3 months? A year? I don't know how long he was gone. But the scripture says after a long time away, the master returned. So his servants had plenty of time, didn't they? I don't think this was just a task. The one who took the 5 bags of gold, okay, I'm going to go immediately, and within a day, I've got the 5 bags returned on my investment. The guy, the servant with the 2 bags, I don't think it's within a day. He went. Nice catch, Don. He went, and he basically put it to work, and he duplicated his money. It was over a period of time. The first servant said, "Master, you trusted me. You entrusted me with the 5 bags of gold. Well done." What's he say? Good, faithful. When we talk about this walk, that's a privilege. It's a privilege that we have to walk this walk until the Lord calls us home. Every breath, every day that he gives us is a privilege of ours. And during this time, the Master, our Lord and our Savior, gives us different responsibilities. And the first one and the second one were faithful, and they heard those words from their master. The third servant, "I knew you were a hard man, and I went and hid what you had given to me." All three servants, I want you to notice this morning, all three servants recognized that that money didn't belong to them. That money did not belong to them. That money belonged to the master. The third servant, if you'll notice in verse 26, their master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant." You ever thought about laziness with wickedness? I can name a lot of things, and I'm not going to, with the children in this room. What I consider wicked, you can watch the news every night and see it's the same story, just a different address or different part of Dallas or different part of Plano, the Metroplex. It's something wicked had happened. Never have I ever seen on the news, wow, breaking news or special alert, and there's a man sitting out there in his hammock underneath a shade tree drinking sweet tea instead of working. Never seen that. I've never equated wickedness with laziness. I think it's important for us to see that. Doing nothing with what had been given to him. Who trained these servants? Think about who trained. Who was that? The master trained the servants. Who equipped these servants? The master did. These servants didn't just show up. I think there's a lot of implications here. They'd spent time with the master, and they knew what he wanted them to do. And do you realize that this story is not about money? Those of you that were clenching your wallet when we first started talking, or you locked your purse up, this is not about money at all. It could be. But Jesus, as he's sharing this parable, this story, Jesus is using something that we all relate to, don't we? We all relate to, because we have to have it to live. But he's using this example of money to get our attention. It's more than just the money. This story is about obedience. This story is about faithfulness. And this story is also about wickedness. I almost said laziness. I'm just going to say wickedness. When we started the series on October 8th, we started with Hebrews 12. We learned that we are not running this race competing with each other. We're running this race together. And notice that these three servants were not competing for their master's attention. These three servants were not competing for his approval. They were not competing to gain that reward. The first servant wasn't haughty. Don, I was given 5 bags of gold and you were only given 2. The first servant wasn't Karen, I was given 5 bags. He only gave you 1. It wasn't that. Notice each one was given something and immediately they went to work. They put it to action. The master gave each one according to their own ability is something else that was very important for us to look at. How many of you have ever preached a sermon before? How many of you have ever led in worship? How many of you have ever taught children? How many of you ever played a saxophone? How many of you ever played a bass guitar? How many of you have ever been a greeter? How many of you have ever taught Sunday school? How many of you have ever gone to do nursing home ministry? How many of you have ever done prison ministry? And all of a sudden my hand's going up. Well, not that. Not. How many of you have ever done puppet ministry? I've never done puppet ministry in my whole life. And God called us at this one church. We're leading in worship. And God called us to do puppet ministry on top of what we were doing leading worship. I've never done that. Well, he began to equip. We went to seminars and conferences and so forth. And Jamie and I thought we had a pretty decent puppet ministry. I was worn out holding that hand up the whole time for 15 minutes. But it was a cool ministry that children really, really can learn from. There's so many things that God has called you to. There's so many things he has not called you to do. So it's very important for us to realize, not focus upon other people's calling, other people's responsibility. God gave, the master gave, and equipped them, or gave them according to their own ability. Does that make sense? The first two servants knew the master. They knew his expectations. They knew him well enough, and they learned from him. How do we know that? It doesn't tell us that. By reading that, there's an assumption. They knew what he wanted. Thank you, master. I'll take those 5 bags of gold. And all 3 of them went and dug a hole and hid them. That's not what he wanted. How do they know that? They knew their master. Church, do you know your master? Do you know your Lord? The first two servants fixed their eyes on their master. They understood him and his desire for their lives. They knew that he had marked out the course for them. The first two servants fulfilled and completed the task. The first two servants pleased their master. Once again, this parable is not about money. Jesus is showing his followers what he expects of them while he is away. And while they are waiting for his return, he expects them to take whatever he gives and to use it on his behalf until he returns. Let me read that paragraph one more time. I'm going to change it up just a little bit. Jesus is showing his followers, you and I, Jim. He is showing his followers what he expects from us. What he expects from us while he is away and while we are waiting for his return. He expects us to take whatever he has given to us, the task that he has given to us, and be responsible with that task. That calling. Why? To use it on his behalf, not for our glory, for his glory. Jesus himself, when he was baptized, he heard his father say, "This is my son, in whom I'm well pleased." Later, Jesus persevered, the mocking, the beating, the scorning, living his life according to his father's plan. Let me say it again, living his life according to his father's plan. Jesus endured the cross. Why? For the joy that was set before him. He knew he would hear, "Well done." He knew his father would be pleased. The third servant was lazy and wicked. The third servant wasn't stupid. The third servant wasn't ignorant. He knew that the bag of gold belonged to his master. He knew what was expected, but he chose to dig a hole and bury it. Chris, do you remember Costa Rica? Sometimes it's not an easy task digging with a shovel, is it? I've dug a lot of ditches in my time. For 20 years, we're bivocational in ministry, and I'm out there digging ditches. I'm digging up leaks and fixing sprinklers, and I can't do that when I'm older. And Chris and I were in Costa Rica, and we got back from lunch to the Martina Bustos area, very poor area, and they didn't have water to the houses. They had water running out at the streets, and if you were rich enough to afford a water hose, you could run that water hose to your house. And if you weren't rich enough, you could steal someone else's water hose. And we got back from lunch, and it had rained just a little bit while we were gone. Rained enough that it wasn't tacky mud at all, sticky on the dirt streets. But it rained enough to be humid. I remember that day well. And there was a lady with a little toddler sitting on the side of the street, and this lady was out there digging a ditch across the street so she could hook the water hose up and run the water hose across the street. Chris and I went over and started digging for her. It's not an easy thing to do, to dig a hole. This man, the third servant, if I'm going to hide a bag of gold, am I going to do it while you're watching? Where am I going to hide? Where am I going to bury that gold? I'm going to take time to process. I'm going to take time. Where can I put this so no one sees me? Where can I put this where no one will find it? And he took that shovel and he began to dig. I wonder what was going through his mind. He began to dig and he buried that gold. That took some effort. Why did I explain it like that? That took some effort to do that. Sometimes I think it takes more effort for us to run from the Lord and run away from his calling than to actually submit and say, yes, Lord. He got the shovel and he went to a place where no one was looking and he dug that hole and he buried that gold. For the first two servants, their reward, was it the same? One had five bags, and he came back with five more. He ended up with 10. The other one had two bags, and he went, and he put it to work, and he came back with another two bags. One had 10, one had 4. Did they get the same reward? Yes, they did. They were faithful. In this church, once again, you don't have to be involved in every single thing. You don't have to be up here all the time. But you do have to be faithful in what God's called you to do. That's how the church works. That's how we function. That's how the body of Christ works. And that's his design for us. Oh, what a joy to share in the Master's happiness. For about 20 years, my mom and dad and Jamie and I served in the same church or churches. What a privilege that was for me, for Jamie. It was not uncommon. On a Sunday night, I'm sitting there relaxing, just relaxing after a long day, and the phone would ring. My daddy. Son, I just want to tell you how proud I am of you. Worship was glorious this morning. Just good to be in the house of the Lord with you. Thank you for what you're doing for the Lord. Not many Sunday nights went by. My daddy's been gone 20-something years now. And I remember after he passed away, I didn't get that phone call, that word of encouragement. And I began to realize more and more, it's not about that earthly encouragement. I can say, Stan, great job leading worship this morning. But if your heart wasn't tuned in with the Lord, it doesn't matter to him. I could say, Patrick, raise your hand and wave back there. He's back there on the switcher. Patrick taught our tech class this morning. I can say, Patrick, you did a great job bringing God's word this morning, which he really did. But if his heart's not right, the Lord's not pleased with him, he's not going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Affirmation in the body is good. Encouragement in the body is good. But you know what's better? Do you know what's best? Do you know what's bestest? Well done, good and faithful servant. The first two servants received their affirmation from the Lord, from their master. The first two servants received the reward. Good job, son. Good job, daughter. Good job, child. Well done. What has the Lord given to you? What has the Lord entrusted to you? I'm going to pause for 15 seconds. For some, it's going to seem like an eternity. I want you to think about what the Lord has called you to do right now. Right now, 2023. Do you want to be a Christian that only survives? Dig a hole. Take time. Dig a hole and bury what God has called you to do. You want to be a Christian who thrives? Run the race well. Run the race well. Take what the Master has given to you and multiply it. Growing in your own faith, teaching your neighbor, teaching your coworker, teaching your children. A lot of times we'll hear, oh, he was a good daddy, or she was a good mama, but that person never instilled in them the ways of the Lord. They never taught them how to walk with the Lord. They were a good baseball coach. They were good, you name it. But they never taught the children the ways of the Lord. Got the affirmation from others, from their peers. You want to be a good daddy? Teach your children the ways of the Lord. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, even when she is old, he or she will not depart from it. Psalm 100 verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. No matter what the Lord has given to you and entrusted to you, serve him with gladness. What does that mean? Serve the Lord with gladness. It's not focusing on everyone else. Lord, you've called me to do this. I'm going to be faithful for the joy that's set before me. Kimberly, serve the Lord with gladness. Whether you're a bonus mom, whether you're a grandparent, whether you're a student, a school teacher, an engineer, a roofer, a pastor, a custodian, and a pastor I served with years ago, he would say, I don't care. God doesn't distinguish based on economic status. I don't care if you're an engineer, if you're a ditch digger. And I'm sitting out there as a sprinkler guy who digs ditches all day long. I'm going, really? You're going to use me as an example of the lowest is low? It doesn't matter what you are, a school teacher, engineer, roofer, a pastor, a custodian. Serve the Lord with gladness. He's got a purpose for you. Listen to him. If you're a born-again child of God, he has given you this life to live for him, not out of obligation, but because that is who you are in Christ Jesus. Serve not out of obligation. Serve with the joy in your heart. Yes, Lord, I want to please you. Guess what? He's gone away for a little bit. He's returning soon, but no one knows the hour of the day that he's going to come back. Matthew chapter 5, and beginning in verse 13, says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Verse 14, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." How selfish would that be in that day? We have light switches everywhere in our house. But in that day, you light a lamp, and you go and hide it over in your own little corner of the house, and no one else can utilize that light. That's what he's saying here. "In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Notice Jesus, when he was teaching right there, he did not stop with "so that they may see your good deeds." I'm glad he didn't stop there, because he was constantly pointing the attention to his Father. So that people can see our good works, our good deeds. But why? It's all for his glory. Everything we do in our life should be for his glory. Everything we do in this church should be for his glory only. Sure, you can see good deeds amongst the brethren. Sure, you can see good deeds out there in the world, but it's all for his glory. That's what he says. Everything we do, pointing others to the Father. The Great Commission in Matthew 28 says this, and I call it the Great Commandment as well. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 16. "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go." I love that. What did we learn in that very first verse? They did as they were told. Let me read it again. "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him. Some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" Who gave Jesus that authority? Who gave Jesus that authority? His Father did. And he says, "All authority has been given to me. Therefore, go. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded." Father God gave his Son the authority. And Jesus says, "Therefore, go." What's he doing there? He's given us the authority. He's given us the authority to go and do what? Make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything there is to know what he's commanded us to do. And the very last part of that verse says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Surely I'm with you always. He is always with us. What a wonderful promise that is. No matter what he's given you, the 5 bags or the 2 bags of gold or the 1 bag of gold, he's going to be with you. He's teaching you now how to utilize those 5 bags, that talent that he's given to you, that task that he's given to you, that calling that he wants you to do. He's in the process of teaching you how to use that and how to glorify his name through that. In the parable of the master leaving and trusting his servants, he gave his servants authority to manage what he had given to them. He gave them the authority to do something with those 5 bags of gold, the 2 bags and the 1 bag. 2 took them seriously. 2 knew the joy that was set before them. 2 realized, because they had spent so much time with them, they knew what was expected of them. Don't be lazy. Don't be wicked. Fulfill the Father's call. Stay the course, run the race with perseverance, fixing your eyes on Jesus. Keep your feet on the solid rock, the firm foundation. Humble yourself. Live a blessed life, leaving a legacy, discipling others. May the Master, may the Lord find you faithful today in what he's given to you. We started off with Hebrews chapter 12 on October 8th. I would like for you to stand with me, and we're going to finish up with Hebrews chapter 12 today, November 26th. Listen, the words won't be up on the screen. Just listen as I read. "Therefore, Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. Let us throw off everything and the sins that so easily entangles or sets us back. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us run the race with perseverance. Listen. Everyone look up here. Listen. Listen. Live with anticipation. Listen. Live with the power and the authority that Jesus has given to you. And listen. For when the day he calls you home, the day he calls me home, be ready to hear those faithful, beautiful words from our Father. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Man, I can't wait. I don't please you guys all the time. It's not my desire. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm here to please the Father. You don't please me all the time. That's okay. We're doing life together. We're walking together. Juan, if you hear, excuse me, when you hear, well done, I'm going to rejoice. When you look around this room, look around this room. And if your brother and sister in Christ, your faith family, goes on before you do, we're going to rejoice for those words that you'll hear because of your faithfulness. Live sold out for him. No more digging holes and wasting the time away. Jesus has given you the authority to go and do. Last words. Leave your shovel at the door when you leave. Leave your shovel at the door. Let's do it. Let's do it for his glory. For his glory. Let's live a life worthy of his calling. Amen? Yes. Amen. Let's pray. Father, sometimes it's not so clear to see what you want each of us to do. But through your word and through the encouragement and instruction from our fellow believers here, you can make that clear. Lord, in faith, in obedience, we want to be faithful to all that you've called us to do. People would see the good deeds, and they would then praise the Father. Thank you for the opportunity to be a part of this journey with you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Jesus, my Redeemer, there is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. My
Keep running that race and finish well. Thank you for being here, Charles. Thanks for a good message from God's Word. And if you're able to stay behind, come up front and go out and help us hit that neighborhood and that neighborhood real quick. We'd love for you to stay and help us with that. Hopefully it'll only take about 30 minutes if we've got enough people to go. And so we'll meet right up front and get your assignment. Everybody's got an assignment, though, right? Amen. Be obedient this week to do what God calls you to, and love everybody you see. God bless you.